Well, good morning all on this 24th of May, 2020 AD. This is Memorial Day weekend. Oh boy. We're looking forward to it for a variety of reasons, not the least of which I am going to do an outdoor service at our town Veterans Memorial. Looking forward to that. I hope you will get outside for Memorial Day as well and participate. Of course, we know that this year is very different than any year in my life. I can certainly say that. And now we're going to have church. I hope you're having church where you are. And I hope you have people with you. And we're going to ask Mrs. Lear if she will open us and rouse us up with the kind of prayer that only the Holy Spirit can bring out of us.
Well, Holy Father, we come before you humbly and with hearts ready to receive your message today. Another week has gone by since we last gathered like this, and much has happened. We're all very thankful, just deep in our hearts, for the way that you guide us and show us through the minefields of life, protecting us along the way. And certainly, Father, in this time of unprecedented situation in our country and in our world, we thank you for the guidance that you give us and the grace that you give us. Appreciate so much that we choose to tether our hearts to you, and that you receive us and you comfort us and you give us wisdom. You know, we treasure our fellowship time with you, Lord. And today is one of those days, one of those times that we dedicate just to you, just for us together. We pray through it all, no matter what, in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen and amen. Well, you ready to sing your hearts out to the Lord? Good. Well, let us lead you. The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. And trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! All will see how great is our God! Age to age he stands, time is in his hands. Beginning and the end, beginning and the end, the Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! All will see how great is our God. Name above all names, worthy of all praise. My heart will sing how great is our God. How great you are, my God. Sing with me, how great you are, my God. All will see how great you are, our God. Oh, Lord, let it be that people will see how great you are, and they'll hear your voice, and they will respond. We sing this as a prayer and looking to you. Jesus, lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay, set my feet upon the rock, and now I know I love you, I need you. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my precious friend, I will worship you until the very end. Sing that last part again. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. My Savior, my precious friend, I will worship you until the very end. Did you get that? I will worship you till the very end. Come what may, no matter what happens, I will worship you. And we're going to be talking more about that in the message today. So pay attention, please. When peace like a river attend my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my face shall be sight. The clouds roll back, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Do you only ask that question on Sunday when you come out to worship? Or are you asking that every morning? Every morning, first thing when you wake up and you say, thank you, Lord, for another day, and ask him, is it well with my soul? And the Lord will answer you, yes, my child, it is well with your soul. Or no, my child, it is not well with your soul. Don't be afraid to ask. Obviously, when you're asking the Lord, he's going to give you the answer you need. Maybe not the answer you want. But in giving you the answer that you need, he's also offering you the help that you need to correct that. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom, and thou my true word. I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, and I thy true Son. Thou in my dwelling, and I with thee one. Riches I need not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, O now and always. First in my heart, High King of Heaven, ever thou art. High King of Heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still my vision, O ruler of all. Still be my vision, O ruler of all. And you better have the Lord's vision, because He is the ruler of all. In today's world, and I spell world, W-H-I-R-L-D, like whirlwind. In today's world, you cannot assume that something would never happen. And yes, that includes conspiracies. Conspiracies happen, not all of them are theories. A nation cannot be free and secure unless it's self-sufficient. This is the opposite of globalism. By the way, has your mind been open to understand the Holy Scriptures? I certainly hope so, and I pray so, and I ask the Holy Spirit to open our minds and open our hearts to receive the Word of God as it comes forth to us. Do you recognize this? And for support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Have you done that? Well, I think I have done that. I'm doing that. I'm in the process of doing that. And of course, as you may recognize, that comes from the final part of the Declaration of American Independence, where they signed off, if you will. The great principles of right and wrong are legible to every reader. To pursue them requires not the aid of many counselors. The whole art of government consists in the art of being honest. Only aim to do your duty, and mankind will give you credit where you fail. Thomas Jefferson, 1775. My secret is simple. I am different when it comes to exercise and movement. The way I move changes how I think about what is going on in the world. I see things from unique perspectives and angles. I can look back into the past or far away into the future. If the federal government should overpass the just bounds of the authority and make a tyrannical use of its powers, the people, whose creature it is, must appeal to the standard they have formed and take such measures to redress the injury done to the Constitution as the exigency may suggest and prudence justify. Alexander Hamilton, 1788. I imagine that he's probably turning in his grave, so to speak, right now. And by the way, movement is superior to meditation. Many of you are keyboard warriors, or you're thinking about the right thing, but you're not moving towards the right thing. You're not moving with the right thing in the right way. So movement is superior to meditation. Don't just think about it. Do it. The battle, sir, is not to the strong alone. It is to the vigilant, the active, and the brave. Patrick Henry, 1775. God love him. I certainly do. Let each citizen remember at the moment he is offering his vote, he is not making a present or a compliment to please an individual, or at least that he ought not to do so, but that he is executing one of the most solemn trusts in human society for which he is accountable to God and his country. Samuel Adams, 1781. In 1530, German reformer Martin Luther wrote in a letter, "God's friendship is a bigger comfort than that of the whole world." Think about that. In 1740, English revivalist George Whitfield wrote in a letter, "We must all have the spirit of martyrdom, though we may not all die martyrs." And by the way, George Whitfield is probably the greatest preacher the world has ever known. And you can name any preacher you want, and I will say that George Whitfield preached more sermons, sometimes four a day in different locations, riding on horseback, and basically died in the middle of preaching. He died in Newburyport, Massachusetts, actually spoke at the colonial capital here in Exeter, New Hampshire, and spoke throughout the whole 13 colonies. That was a difficult thing to do in the days before airplanes and fast boats and trains and all those kind of things, riding on horseback. He was an amazing man. And by the way, he built a building. Ben Franklin built a building for him in Philadelphia to get the people in out of the winter to hear George Whitfield. He had so many people gathering to hear him, and he was no wimpy white wussy preacher. I mean, he really preached it strong and hard. That's why he was called a revivalist, I guess. Well, Ben Franklin, the Benjamin Franklin, built him a building to get the people in the wintertime. That building now belongs to the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. It's the Wharton School of Business. The care of human life and happiness, and not their destruction, is the first and only legitimate object of good government. Thomas Jefferson, 1809. Planned Parenthood is evil. Abortion is evil. It's not good government. It's not a legitimate object of good government. Do not be deceived. Be a revolutionary like Jesus was, and you will enjoy life and life hereafter with him. Did I say that Jesus was a revolutionary? He definitely was. And as I cited to a pastor the other day, if Jesus said it, you can say it. I said it to another fellow the other day who's a Christian leader. I said, if Jesus said it, and Jesus did it, then you should do it, and you can do it, and you will be doing it. So, was he a revolutionary? I mean, when he spoke to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes, or when he said to Pontius Pilate, "You have no power over me. The only power you have is what God the Father has given you." Was that sort of a revolutionary standpoint? I'd say so. Okay, now the most favorite part. I love doing the singing and worshiping and praising. But of course, what's most important to me personally is going to the Word of God and reading what the Scriptures have to say. So turn with me, if you would, to Joshua 24:15. Joshua 24:15. And Mrs. Lear, if you will help us out today, I would like you to ask, I'd ask you to get the trumpet of God, please. Otherwise known as the shofar. After all, we're in the Old Testament, and Joshua, at the Battle of Jericho, had the priest blow the shofar. So I'm going to try to do that today. I haven't done it for a while. Okay, that's like ringing the church bells, you might say. So now that you've been called to the Word of God, turn with me to the 24th chapter of Joshua. 24th chapter of Joshua 24. And we're going to read from the 14th verse through the 28th verse. And I'm going to ask Mrs. Lear to be our reader for us today. You follow along in your Bible.
Joshua 24, verses 14 through 28 from the English Standard Version. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." But Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good." And the people said to Joshua, "No, but we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." He said, "Then put away the foreign gods that are among you, and incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey." So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and put them, and put in place statutes and rules for them at Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God. And he took a large stone and set it up there under the terebinth that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, "Behold, this stone shall be a witness against us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord that he spoke to us. Therefore, it shall be a witness against you, lest you deal falsely with your God." So Joshua sent the people away, every man to his inheritance. That was Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 through 28 from the English Standard Version.
With bated breath, you might say, I can say amen and amen. I can say this is perhaps one of the most important passages of Scripture in the Bible, though you may not realize it. And of course, many people might look at a passage of Scripture like this and say, this is not the image of God that I want to have. Folks, this may be one of the most important messages that I've ever preached in all my life. Now, I've never preached as long, or I should say as many sermons as George Whitefield, I think. I've preached in more places than George Whitefield. Didn't have to ride on horseback to do it, although a couple of times I did, and all other means of conveyance. But this perhaps is one of the most important messages I've ever preached, particularly at a time like this, which we would describe as a kairos. I didn't say Cairo, meaning in Egypt, kairos, that Greek word that means God's timing, because of what is happening in America. What's happening in America right now is the same thing that happened pretty much that brought on the war for American independence. Now, why is this perhaps one of the most important messages that I've ever preached? Well, perhaps I should title it The Day of Decision. The Day of Decision. The Day of Decision. Today is the Day of Decision. And of course, it begs a question that I'll save for later. The Day of Decision. Historically, when Joshua, and you can certainly go back and read the rest of the chapter from the beginning, for today's purposes and being limited on time and doing this in a recording that we publish for others to listen to. It's just a teaser, so to speak, a little taste. But in verse 14, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him, pay attention here, in sincerity and in faithfulness. And of course, that's the way, the only way to serve the Lord, the way that he's required, the way he is expecting. And he's also saying, put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and Egypt and serve the Lord. Now, serving the Lord means you can't have divided loyalties. Until recently, and I've read a document recently, that one of my ancestors who came here, actually the last of my ancestors that came to America, was in the beginning of the 20th century. Some came here in 16th century, 17th century, 18th century, 19th century, and the latest ones in the beginning of the 20th century. One of them filled out an intent, a form called an intention to become a citizen. They had actually 7 years after filling that out to fulfill citizenship, which required learning the language, learning the history, passing a test, so to speak. Now, and of course, renouncing all other principalities. In this particular case, renouncing affiliation or agreement with King Albert of Belgium, who actually was an incredibly wonderful man, one of the last of the European monarchs that actually cared about his people enough to go into the First World War leading the troops. That's unheard of for monarchs. And he was extremely well liked, and he was considered a very pious and devoted Christian man, unlike most of the monarchs of Europe. And so when you become a citizen, you're supposed to renounce all your previous allegiances and become an American citizen only, with your allegiance, like Pledge of Allegiance to the United States of America and to the flag it's representative of it. Well, a lot of people don't want to do that. A lot of people want the blessing of God, but they also want to traffic around and fool around with false gods. The Lord says here through his servant Joshua, put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river in Egypt and serve the Lord. Put them away. Well, I'm saying that to you right now. Put away those other gods. The gods of money and power, the gods of prestige, all those things. Put them away. This is a day of decision. As we read on, and if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That is powerful. That is so powerful that Joshua said that. And he proved it over and over and over again. Now you think, but it was different for Joshua than us today in 2020 in America. Why is it different? Our country is loaded with false gods. Our country is loaded with the work of the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Mitesonites and all that. Loaded with it. Corrupted with it. So today is a day of decision, just the way Joshua may have said, but me and my household. I can't decide for your household. I can't decide for you. I wish I could, and I wish my decision would stick. But then I'd just be a tyrant, wouldn't I? And even a benevolent tyrant is still a tyrant. The Lord is not a tyrant. As I've tried to explain to people, well, he sounds like an angry God here. An angry God? No. A loving God. But firm. A loving Father. Very firm. Very concerned about knowing, because he knows what's best. Father knows what's best. And Father knows if you continue on this way, what's going to happen to you. Well, it's happening in America just the way it was then. In ancient Israel and with Joshua. But he made the statement, and I'm saying to you, are you going to make the statement that he made, even though lots of people around you do not make that statement? Even though lots of people around you are doing something else, and they want to serve the god of the Amorites? And, you know, you can look all this up of what the god of the Moabites and the Amorites, what those gods were. Well, they're still around. They may be using different names, but they're still around. So what are you going to say for you and your family? As we read a little further on, and the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. Who is the God of America, I ask you? Who is the king of America? I've said it often enough, and I keep saying it until it gets through. Jesus Christ is the King of America. No other King but King Jesus. Who is the God of America? The God of the Bible. Okay, you came from another country, had another religion. You're going to have to swear off that religion. Wow. That's like so radical thinking for today, isn't it? We accept everything. We're really tolerant. Well, I'm as tolerant as the Lord is. That's how tolerant I am. If he doesn't tolerate it, I don't tolerate it. Today is a day of decision. Today is a day of decision, people. And I'm looking at you, I'm pointing at you. As we continue reading on. And the people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey." Period. They made a decision right there and then. The Lord is our God. The Lord our God. We will serve. And his voice we will hear. You can't even turn off the TV set. You can't even turn off the radio. You cannot turn off any of those things in your life, can you? Well, how are you going to hear the voice of the Lord when, I mean, it's not to say the Lord can't speak through TV or radio or whatever else, and he does. But, you know, he really speaks in a small, still voice. And as Jesus pointed out, my sheep know the sound of my voice. Well, I have made an observation with many of our Christian brethren. They don't seem to know the voice of the Lord very well. And they can't seem to hear it. They get bad hearing. They can hear the voice of the governor. They can hear the voice of the president. The senators, and I'm being sarcastic when I say this, pointedly so. They can hear that very well, those voices. But they can't seem to hear the Lord's voice. You know that the people who fought in the American War for Independence, they were hearing the voice of the Lord. That's why in my quips and quotes I quoted to you from the end of the Declaration of American Independence what they said. And let me remind you on this Memorial Day weekend, there are people that have gone to serve our country and died for doing it. I should say died in doing it. All the way from the Plymouth Colony right through till now. So we honor them. But one of the best ways we can honor those, best ways that I can honor all my ancestors who fought in these wars, and some of them died in these wars and were wounded in these wars. And so for the best way that I can honor them is to do what they did. And to remember their sacrifices and never forget. But the greatest sacrifice of all that I remember is a sacrifice that Jesus made for me and made for you. And that's why this is a day of decision. And as we continue to read through that portion of scripture, and Joshua wrote these words of the book of the law of God. And he took a large stone and set it upon under the terebinth tree that was in the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, "Behold, this stone shall be witness against us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord that he spoke to us. Therefore, it shall be a witness against you, lest you deal falsely with your God." So Joshua sent the people away, every man to his inheritance. We have a cloud of witnesses, as it says in Hebrews. Jesus says we've been surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. And so I'm not going to go deep into that theologically, but just think of it this way. We're being watched. The angels are watching us, the good angels, the fallen angels. And in a sense, our ancestors are watching us saying, what are you doing with what I died for? What are you doing with what I fought for? What are you doing? But most importantly, the Lord is saying that. Jesus is saying, this is a day of decision. And my message is not just for America, it's for the whole world, but I'm particularly pointing it towards Americans. This is the day of decision. What are you going to do about what's happening in this country? Please stop all your complaining and do something. Like I said in the quips and quotes, movement, not just meditation. Well, I've been thinking about it. I've been thinking on it. Well, that's wonderful. I mean, it's wonderful that you're praying about it. But prayer without action is wrong. You pray and you obey. You hear the voice of the Lord and obey Him as quickly as you possibly can. Move your feet and move your hands, because this is the day of decision. And so I must pop the question, which of course some people would think, but you're already married to Kathy. What do you mean you're going to pop the question? Well, this is the question I'm going to pop. Because remember, it's a day of decision. What are you going to decide now? Will you say like Joshua, but as for me and my house or my home, we will serve the Lord? Okay? If the other people around my neighborhood don't want to, and I live in a neighborhood where honestly, there's hardly anybody serving the Lord. Some people marginally serve the Lord, give lip service to the Lord, but not really serving Him. We live in a country right now where lukewarmness is the way. When Jesus said, if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. This is a day of decision. What are you going to decide? Now, if you're scratching your head, say, well, I need more time. What if I told you there is no more time? It is the time of decision. Now decide now. Are you pressuring me into a decision? Well, I'll tell you what. We better press a decision on some of our leaders. Some of our elected representatives are acting like tyrants rather than servants. We better press them into making a decision one way or the other very soon. This is the first time in my whole life that I've not been able to march in a Memorial Day parade. Or, I mean, one time for one area, I marched every year in four parades on Memorial Day. I by the end of the day, I was so wiped out. I got home, had something to eat, and fall asleep in my chair, even when I was much, much younger. And now this year, I'm going to do a small event, because that's all I'm allowed to do, so to speak. But I'm doing something. I'm not just going to sit at home or sit on the back deck and barbecue something and say, well, that's good Memorial Day. No, I'm not going to allow them to keep me in my house. Keep me away from that, because I've made the decision. Now, what about you? And here's how I'm going to help you. Lord God Almighty, as Joshua did, we will do. We're not serving false gods anymore. If we have, please forgive us. Where we have, please forgive us. Many times we did and didn't even realize we were. But we're hearing your voice, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for speaking to us. And our decision, my decision, is for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And I pray in Jesus' name, King Jesus, that all those who are listening to this message now, on this day of decision, say, I decide for Jesus. I vote for Him. my vote goes to Jesus. Every time, in every election, in all things. Amen and amen.